All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse down and running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash to spend it on mustache. Man, it's good to be a geek. It's good to be a geek. It's good to be a creep.
This is four in a row.
You keep saying that like
it's a streak.
It's not something we should aspire to just do the show.
Listen, after the year we had.
Yeah.
Right? And then the return, and then a couple of small breaks. Uh-huh. It is an achievement to be regular.
I feel
the show
that
has enough fiber in its diet.
I feel to that be regular we, again. We should be celebrating such achievements, but you know, why don't we? Okay, now we've done four. Why don't we speak about it again when we've done eight?
All right, so doubling it up,
or 10, or something.
Oh, double digits.
Something significant is what I mean.
All right, fine.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 251. Too much Batman? Question mark.
Is there such a thing?
Is there such a thing? Tonight we will find out.
As we choke.
Because there is a lot of Batman stuff happening.
On Batman-related product.
Everything, man. It's product, books, movies is what?
A little bit of everything.
Month? Not even a month?
Month. There was another new trailer, yep. Although I admit I did not watch it. I'm done watching trailers for that movie.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't really want to hear about the bitching and the moaning.
About the voice?
About everything. Our community is the biggest group of curmudgeons.
I'm working on the impression of the voice.
Okay.
I am Bane.
It's not that bad. You know, the big controversy in the Bat world this week wasn't even Bane.
Oh, no?
It was the cover to Catwoman Zero.
Oh.
Have you seen this?
No.
So, have you heard about the Zeros? Hold on. Let's do this.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Okay. That kind of officiates us talking about stuff.
Right. So have you heard about the Zeros? I think it's in the fall before the next wave of new 52 bucks rolls out. I guess to commemorate 1 year since the new 52 launch,
right?
They're doing issue zeros of certain books.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure what the storylines are in each book. And actually, some of the new books are getting zeros as well. But I guess there's a Catwoman Zero. And on the cover, I guess her back is contorted. And so her butt's kind of sticking out. And you can kind of see her chest at the same time. And it's
really,
it's just like people bitching about, oh, the artwork sucks. Oh, it's over-sexualized. Oh, this is why people don't read comics. Oh,
really?
Really? This is why? Because of the Catwoman cover? Get over yourselves. It's a fucking cover. And it ain't even that bad, in my personal opinion.
People are not reading comics because there's no continuity. You know, Marvel in particular. Listen,
people are not reading comics or because there isn't a lot of strong storytelling out there.
Let's be honest, that's
a very broad statement. Right. There are clearly some standout books that still exist.
And let's be honest, it's not that people aren't reading comics. People aren't buying comics.
Right. Yeah, people are reading them.
Because bitches be stealing them
right
from everywhere.
But it's just
looking right at you, OG.
I got my issues. I want my issues.
I'm this sure week. This time.
But it's just amazing the amount of just complaining. And then to say, to make an argument, all right, well, I got to do this because it's been bothering me all week.
Okay.
To make an argument or to go on a tirade about a Catwoman cover that sexualizes the character of Catwoman is just moronic. Catwoman is a character that has been sexualized since inception.
Day one.
Since I mean, can you think of one iteration of Catwoman that has not been sexualized? Now, granted, it's clearly gotten more explicit as time has progressed.
I have one.
But in general, it's gotten more explicit. What?
Halle Berry.
Yeah, that no, not at all. No. The ripped leather? Not
sexualized. Demure. Just bad.
Demure.
Terrible.
That's Amish Catwoman. But, I mean, how could you complain about that character being... And the other thing I should say is to all the people bitching about the character being sexualized, I don't see anybody fucking doing demure Catwoman as cosplay, right?
No,
every time
not.
You see cosplay Catwoman, a trashy, slutty Catwoman, the character has been sexualized since inception.
With all due respect, sir, when you see people... girls cosplaying Chewbacca, they're slutty,
okay.
Sexualized, okay. Chewbacca.
But the point being is you can't complain about a character being overly sexualized when it's always been overly sexualized. That's just the nature of the character.
Slutty, sexualized Bender the robot.
Chewbacca in a thong has not been something until recent history, all right? And it's a travesty, and it should be stopped.
Slutty Captain America.
I'm sure we've seen that before.
We have.
I know. All right, let's move on with Batman-related news, though.
That's because it's mostly what we have.
No, actually, we have a couple things that are not Batman-related.
Oh.
But since we're on the Batman kick, Talon getting his own series as part of the New 52 in
now,
September.
Is Talon the lead, or is he like...
No, well, okay, here's the thing
about
Talon.
We've
got
to be really careful about this.
Here's the thing about Talon. Talon is... a character type in the Court of the Owls.
Right.
There are multiple Talons.
Right.
This series that's coming out in September
uh-huh.
is going to focus on one particular Talon.
Right.
Okay. And it's, he is the story from what we understand so far is he is broken from the court.
Oh.
And he is against the court. And so I have a feeling that he's going to be this like,
so he's like a Hang Talon.
I think he's going to be a hero, kind of, sort of. You know, I think it's going to be an interesting character.
I think he's going to be an action figure.
I would hope so. It's a great character design.
Yeah, sure is.
So there you go. Talon. And I'm okay with this. I think the Court of Owls has been great. We'll talk a little bit more about issue 10 when we get to comic books.
Yeah.
But I think it's been a great storyline. So thumbs up for that.
Yep.
All right, moving on with the news.
Yes.
But we'll stick with DC. You remember last week we were like, why are they doing a Justice League movie? They have all these other movies.
Vaguely.
To do. That was a big conversation. Well, apparently, other projects currently in development according to Warner Brothers. For film.
Not TV.
Flash. Aquaman. Lobo, The Suicide Squad, Shazam, Green Arrow, and already, of course, in the sort of works is where does the Batman franchise go?
Right.
After Christopher Nolan departs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing there is a surprise.
Well, I think a couple of things are a surprise. Suicide Squad, I think, is a surprise.
But you
I
know
didn't
what?
Think that book was doing that well to warrant the film adaptation.
But you know what? As a concept and a standalone movie,
right?
It's fine.
Work. Okay.
The rest of them all play well, unless of course they're going to stick Lobo in that group. The rest of them kind of play into the idea that they would like to copy the success of the Avengers.
Right.
By eventually having a Justice League movie. So Flash, Green Arrow, who's the other one you said?
Aquaman.
Aquaman are appropriate films.
Shazam.
Not so much.
Yeah.
But at least those first three are those three that we mentioned. Those are appropriate maneuvers to try to get to that place.
Right.
The big problem with this, of course, is these plans have probably been in effect for a while.
And right.
Maybe even before the Green Lantern debacle.
Correct.
So now the question is, what are we going to do?
Well, the other thing is that it seems like it's a bit backwards. Because it seems like Justice League, as far as where it stands in the production run or line, is still further ahead than all of these solo projects.
Yeah.
So this is backwards logic. You should be focusing on the solo projects, introducing the characters, making them strong, and then moving forward with a Justice League movie.
But you don't get to capitalize on the Avengers the longer you separate your movie from it.
I understand that, but I don't think that you can capitalize on the Avengers being DC. Just saying.
Oh, sure you can. Because it's a group of superheroes fighting all together in one place. So, of course, they can capitalize on it by getting that Justice League movie out as soon as they can. The problem is that without the firm support of an Avengers-type buildup,
right,
it's just going to be shit.
Right.
Because you'd have to at least tell four or five origins in that film.
Sure.
Just to, you know, get it going. And that's like, what are they going to be, five-minute origins?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. All right, sticking with films that are set in the same universe, but moving to Marvel. And actually, I guess moving specifically to Sony. So as you know, I think is it
Spider-Man.
Is it this month or is it next month?
It is July 3rd.
Okay,
sir.
So it's July. So it's a couple weeks away. The Amazing Spider-Man
is
coming to theaters. Oh, I don't think it looks that bad.
Oh,
except
please.
For the character design of the Lizard, which I think is horrendous.
And the costume design.
Oh,
and the fact that he's a pretty boy.
Nah, I don't know. All that doesn't bother me so much.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Venom. We've been hearing about a Venom movie for quite some time. This isn't new. But what we've heard now is that the Venom movie that comes out will be set in
the Amazing Spider-Man universe
that they're creating in The Amazing Spider-Man, which leads you to think that at some point down the line, they'll be able to redo that
Freddy versus Jason.
And hopefully it will be better than the first attempt.
Yeah, you think so?
No.
No.
No. I don't know. I think Venom.
Are you reading that new Venom is a Commando for the Government book?
No, I'm sorry. Venom is Eddie Brock, not Flash Thompson. So I will not read Venom is not Eddie Brock books.
Gotcha.
Personal opinion?
Thought the design looked nice.
Sure. Combat boots on Venom?
Yeah.
It was sexy.
Yeah.
You mean Venom is Deadpool? No, it was great.
Are you sexualizing? Are you sexualizing Venom, sir?
I am. I'd like to see his chest and ass in the same shot. All right.
That would be a trick.
It would be a trick. All right. How about we go to... I have one other thing in the news. News was pretty light this week. Look, there are things that we're kind of glossing over. Like, I didn't feel like... Because I know someone's going to say, how come you didn't talk about... I didn't feel the need to mention the fact that they're adding some sort of romantic love story into The Hobbit that didn't previously exist in the books for one of the dwarves. I didn't think that had a...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget. Which dwarf is it now? I don't even remember. It's one of them. Is getting some sort of love story.
Dopey?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it Doc?
Woody.
Is that the one?
I have no idea. I'm
Doc and Dopey?
I'm glossing over that because I didn't want to talk about it because it's just... It is what it is. We know there is stuff in the Hobbit movie that was not in the books.
Just like Lord of the Rings.
We know that it happened. And we know that Lord of the Rings was good. We know that Peter Jackson knows how to handle the source material. Let's trust him to do what he thinks is appropriate with the Hobbit and assume that he's worthy of our trust in putting out a good film.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm just tired
of the
complaints.
There was so much stuff in Lord of the Rings that wasn't in the books. Like, I mean, practically everything with Arwen.
That's all it comes down to, is people just complaining about everything. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Zachary Levi, who you may or may not remember as Chuck.
Is he the one that knocked up? Oh, no.
No. No.
Bristol Palin? That wasn't Zachary Levi?
No. Chuck was the TV show that should have been good, but shit the bed somewhere around the second to last season.
You just say that because the Baldwin is in it.
No, it was a good show, and it lost all of its charm somewhere at the end. But
right,
anyway.
Kind of like Heroes Season 2.
Oh, God. Zachary Levi was supposed to play Fandral, one of the Warriors Three in Thor, but could not because of commitments to filming Chuck at the time.
Uh-huh.
The actor that played Fandral in Thor.
He's the one with the blonde beard, right?
Right. He cannot do that because he is the actor that played it is Prince Charming on Once Upon a Time.
Right.
And so now he is committed to that show.
Right.
So now Zachary Levi is free and available, and it looks like he might be sliding into the role that should have been his to begin with in the second Thor.
Thor 2.
The return of Chuck.
How on earth do we ever think that we would hear us talk about the sequel to the Thor movie?
Hey, man, I'm excited about Thor 2. I liked Thor 1, so I'm all right with it.
Uh-huh.
You know what we didn't talk about? I guess it was a couple weeks back, but now that two episodes have aired, we can at least talk about it a little bit.
What?
Tron Uprising.
Oh, yeah.
Yo. I loved it.
It was pretty good. When does the actual series start?
It started last week. Last week was the first episode of the actual series.
Oh, no.
It's Thursday nights. If, depending on who your cable provider is,
right,
it is on the demand. Disney XD on demand.
Oh, really?
And Disney also reruns it, depending on who your provider is. Disney is rerunning it. Okay, so we record on Wednesdays. Disney is rerunning it tonight. And then the new episode, which is the second episode in the regular series,
right,
which is technically the third episode overall,
right,
is tomorrow night.
Oh, man, I got
to
set
So you have the opportunity to check out last week's episode tonight.
I got to set my stuff up to tape.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. It's better than... I had a little bit of trepidation. I had a little bit of...
The animation's a little weird.
Yeah, and I was really kind of worried that they were going to really try hard to shoehorn a story in, and already people are complaining about that they're trying to, I heard some complaints about, you know, how is Tron in the show, but when the movie comes around, he's clearly Rinsler. To my response,
oh,
was,
way to spoil it, OG.
Look, if I haven't seen it at this point, and I'm going to spoil the Uprising. So if you haven't watched it yet and you want to, spoiler alert, the first episode, that debut episode, clearly sets up Tron as a corrupt file that's progressively becoming more corrupt.
Right.
So the assumption, or my assumption, is that during the course of Uprising, he will go from Tron with like a corrupt scepter, like his big toe ain't so good.
Right.
To fully funky.
Full out Rinsler.
Yeah, to full out Rinsler by the end of the series, thus bridging
where they will kill the character that leads.
So there you go. Right. So I don't see so much of a continuity flaw that some other people see. I think the show was really good. The animation took a little bit of getting used to. Also, a major complaint about the debut was that almost everybody I know, no matter who your provider was, the audio sync was off.
Yes.
By a couple of seconds.
Yep, it was.
If you had Fios, if you had Comcast, if you had Time Warner, the audio sync was off. So, you know, hopefully that gets addressed also.
But I hope that was adjusted.
I believe that it was. So yeah, that's news.
I got one other piece of news.
Yeah, go for it.
I saw Prometheus.
Oh, and?
Meh.
Okay.
It was okay.
I've heard mixed reviews about it.
No, you know what? It was fairly what's the right word? Formulaic. You know what I mean?
I heard it was kind of I heard it was a bit formulaic.
And heady. Very, very, very heady.
Well, it's Ridley Scott's sci-fi.
But you know what? It is more heady than normal Ridley
Scott. It's more heady than Blade Runner?
Yeah, totally more.
Really? I haven't seen it, so I'm going based on your...
And the big thing out there now is that people are talking about the connection between Blade Runner and the Alien movies.
Right. And
as perhaps set up by Prometheus.
Right. And I've heard that. And I've heard how it ties into Alien. And I've read a couple of spoilers here and there. And I heard there's a perfect setup for a follow up.
Oh, man.
Prometheus 2.
Yeah. This is what I've been saying to people. There's already a sequel to Prometheus. It's called Alien.
It's called Alien. Right. You know what? I don't know. I want to see it. I hope they do. I hope if it does well, there is a Prometheus 2. I probably won't check it out until DVD, but I definitely will check it out.
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, visually it was very cool. It was very, very heady, as we said. I mean, I don't think there was a bad performance in it.
Right.
You know, the effects and everything else. I saw it in the IMAX.
Yeah.
Which is pretty stunning and spectacular.
That's what I hear. It's iGasmic.
Yeah, it is very iGasmic. And not a bad performance in it. Fassbender was really top notch.
Well, Fassbender is just fucking knocking that out of the park.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, from those perspectives, all was well.
Box office wise, it didn't do amazing.
No.
Got knocked out of first place by Madagascar 3.
But they expected that, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think that Prometheus was going to be
huge.
Huge box office wise. Right. Not like the Avengers. Speaking of which,
or this, Batman,
this reminded me, Avengers could be coming back to theaters.
Oh yeah,
soon. I think either end of the summer, early fall, and it looks like it's going to be a director's cut
for its Oscar run.
Yeah, actually, no, for its Avatar run. They're re-releasing it like Avatar got re-released.
Oh yeah,
because
that got re-released. That got re-released for the Oscar run,
yeah.
Sir.
I know, but they're going to do it sooner than that.
Oh.
And it's close. It's like 200, whatever. It's like 200 million off. It's not far off. And it's from what I hear, it's potentially a director's cut with 30 minutes of additional footage.
Ooh, I was going to say with 3 whole minutes of
footage. I heard it's something like 30 minutes of footage that was cut out originally.
It's more shawarma scene.
That they were saving for the DVD release. So who knows what that means. But so we'll see if that happens.
That's cool.
And with that.
Yes, OG, let's take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 251, Too Much Batman.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey, gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 251, Too Much Batman? Question mark?
It's where we can just take it so many different ways. Too Much Batman. Too Much Batman. Too Much Batman.
What you talking about? Batman.
We can do that, too.
All right, let's do this.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
DVDs this week. There's a bunch, actually.
Really?
There is a bunch. And several I probably will have to pick up. And several you might.
Oh, boy.
Sherlock Holmes, Game of Shadows.
Yes, that one I will be picking.
Out on DVD this week. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Is that a cricket I hear?
That is absolutely a cricket you just heard. Superman versus the Elite.
I've heard good things about this. This is animated.
This is animated.
Who is the Elite? I don't know who the Elite is.
I don't know.
This is one of those things where I'm like, oh, I probably should know what this is, but I just don't.
The Elite, a team of superpowered antiheroes, is renowned for killing their enemies. So I think it might be, it sounds like it may be made for animation.
Okay.
But I've heard good things. I've heard some positive reviews.
Okay.
Also out this week, You may or may not want to pick this up because, you know, you're a fan. Meatballs on the Blu-ray.
No way.
Yes, sir.
Oh, is there anything special on it? Do we know?
You know what? Not only, I don't know, but how many Meatballs films were there?
Well, many.
Right?
Honestly, like Highlander, there was only one Meatballs movie.
Well, was Bill Murray was in the...
Only in the first
one. He wasn't in the second one?
No, sir.
I thought he had a cameo in the
second one.
No,
he did not.
All right. It's a special edition version of the DVD. Extra features include some insight into Murray, an interview with Ivan Reitman. It doesn't look like anything.
Oh, my. But I am going to buy that.
But what I don't quite get, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. So the Blu-ray version, for example, is $14.99.
Right.
Right now on Amazon, it's $7.99.
Oh.
Okay. So great deal. What I don't get is, why wouldn't you do a box set? I know the other films suck. I understand that.
I don't believe they're all owned by the same company.
Okay, is that because
I believe
to me, if you put out a box set of however many there were,
right,
and you sell it for, let's say, 20.
Yeah, right? No one's buying it.
I think people are buying it because Meatballs 1 is worth 20.
Meatballs 2 was kind of a slapstick comedy sort of one. It wasn't really a direct sequel per se. Meatballs 3, I think, was the intended sort of direct sequel. Are you looking it up? Find the one that Patrick Dempsey was in. Patrick Dempsey played Rudy Gerner in one of them, which is the character originally played by Christopher Makepeace in the original Meatballs.
All right, Patrick Dempsey was in 3.
Right. So 3 is actually an actual sequel with characters from the first, well, at least one character from the first movie. And I guess he talks on the phone with Bill Murray's character, but I don't know that you hear the other side of the conversation. It's been so long since I've seen it. Meatballs 2 is just like, you know, there's like an alien in it. You know, and they're hiding the alien as one of the campers, and yeah, it's bad. And there was a lot of
Meatballs 4,
and there is a Meatballs 4, which I have never seen,
no.
So I can't tell
that
you a thing
in
about
the
it.
90s,
yeah.
So that tells you something.
But the Meatballs 2 also had one of the Real Housewives of L.A. Which one of those Hollywood, Real Housewives of Hollywood. What's her name? Oh, I can't remember her name at the moment. Kim Richards, who you may remember from the Escape to Witch Mountain movies, the original ones,
right,
the Disney ones. She was actually the blonde girl in Escape from Witch Mountain, and she did Meatballs 2, and they made a lot of references to the fact that she was probably like the same character, like she was like an alien.
Ew.
And stuff, like she was really inexperienced and she didn't know a lot about a lot of things. It was kind of funny if you were like a fan of the Witch,
right,
of the Witch Mountain movies. So that was kind of cute, but really overall the movie just sucked.
Big old pile of stink.
What other DVDs?
That was it.
Wow, those are at least two exciting ones in there.
Yeah, well, I think 3. Superman the Elite.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
Sherlock
true.
Holmes and Meatballs.
You're right.
Ghost Rider.
Meatballs on Blu-ray. I can't even.
I know. It's like, that's one of those ones where it's like, do
that
I need
one?
This on Blu-ray?
No, you know why? Because we waited so long.
$8. You're like, okay.
We waited so long for DVD release.
I know.
That it was like, when it finally came, it was like, oh, you dove on it. But. Oh, man, yeah, I'm going to Amazon today if that's the case.
All right, let's move out of DVDs.
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
I have 2.
I have 3.
And one of ours crosses over.
Yeah, one.
One.
What do you got?
Well, the one that doesn't cross over is Batman Arkham Unhinged.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been really good. I'm actually really enjoying this.
Okay.
Of course, this is the one that's based on the story from Arkham City.
Right, and Arkham Asylum.
And Arkham Asylum.
The video games.
The video games, yeah.
The video game tie-in book.
It's been good. It's been actually a pretty decent read, so I'm
cool.
I'm enjoying that.
The one in my pile that didn't cross over was Captain America number 13.
Right.
Which I have to say I am actually excited about.
Okay, now I'm perplexed. I'm worried.
Here's why you should be perplexed.
Okay.
One, it's because it returns one of my favorite Marvel characters. Well, it doesn't return. He's been in it. It's just... The story is getting good.
Right.
It's Scourge. Now, you've heard us talk from time to time. There are very few Marvel characters that have affected me in my youth as Scourge was. Scourge was, I thought, the greatest concept character ever. It was just a dude who would just kill supervillains. So, for example, Captain America would fight one of the Serpent Society. I think maybe Anaconda. This actually happened. Like, I think it was Anaconda. And after Anaconda got away or whatever, you know, like, you see Anaconda walking down an alley, you know, and she's like, oh, you know, she's like all beat up or whatever.
Right.
Managed to get away, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, a bullet just rips through her. You know, and they show you, you know, like the next panel is like one of those awkward angle shots up right. to somebody standing in the on the fire escape of one of the buildings. And all he says is justice is served.
That was it.
That's it.
That was his catch line.
That was it. Justice is served. That's it. So now you have a guy who is killing Scourge. You have Scourge killing supervillains who are on. Who are in the witness protection program.
Okay.
All right. So why all this is happening is really convoluted. But what you don't know, or what Cap doesn't know, but you, the reader, does, is that Scourge is D-Man.
Okay.
You remember D-Man? He kind of looked like Wolverine with giant red D on his chest.
Oh, okay.
He was one of Cap's sidekicks in the 80s. Dennis Dunphy was the
Phil Dunphy?
The name. And he is actually Scourge. So it's, I dare say, interesting. So bravo, right. Ed Brubaker. And, the art's pretty decent as well. So it's not really, it's actually part three of the story, Shock to the System.
All right.
And, I have to say I'm almost moved to say that I like it almost.
Nice.
Now we have two that cross over.
Right. Oh, I just remembered I had a news story I forgot. We'll get to it after comics.
Okay. Batman number 10.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we finally reveal in this one that...
well, we reveal a lot of different things in
let's,
this one.
Let's talk about the big reveal. So who is the character? Don't say who it is, but who is the character? Is he the head of the court?
No, he is... He's kind of pulling the strings
right
behind the court
of the owls.
Are we doing spoiler alert?
No.
Are we just saying it?
No, we don't have to say who he is.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know who he is.
Well, there are other. So he's.
Let's see you dance.
Yeah.
He's, dance, OG.
He does some pretty important things in this issue.
Okay.
That are a bit perplexing.
This is the guy we're not saying who it is, right. But that he's like the head of the court of the owls.
He's a member of the Court of the Owls. He's part of the Talon Group, but kind of not. And he's kind of pulling some
And we're
strings.
Sure that Book in the Fall is not about him.
No, it's a different character.
Okay.
It's a different character. Okay. Different character name.
Got it.
Different character. And he does some stuff in this issue that are like, that are good.
And then
you're like, oh, this guy's Batman's friend.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, wait, he's more than Batman's friend.
Yes.
And we'll
he's
leave
Batman's
it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Lover, thus no. sexualizing Batman.
Right. Boobs and ass. So I really don't want to spoil this for people.
We don't have to say any more than that.
I couldn't wait. I read it. Like, I picked up, my son was napping in the car. And
right.
I'm like, rather than move him out the car and risk waking him up, I'm going to sit in a driveway. I'm going to read this book. That's what I did.
Nice.
So I had to read it. It was awesome.
Now, let me ask you.
Snyder and Capullo, I think, are knocking it out of the park.
Yeah,
week
absolutely.
After week, after week, after week.
After month.
After month.
Because it's a monthly book.
Sure.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Is this revelation of who this person is,
uh-huh.
is this a new 52 thing?
Well, no. No and yes. It's clearly part of the new 52 world that has been established.
Right.
But, as you know, the new 52 did not reboot certain characters.
Right.
It took into existence continuity.
Right.
Batman was not rebooted.
Right.
Lantern was not rebooted. Supes was not rebooted. So, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is not New 52 continuity.
Because
this is Batman continuity.
That makes this very, very awkward.
It really depends on how it ties up in issue 11.
Okay.
And I hear that in issue 11,
right,
there's a lot of big things that happen.
Okay, so we're going to hold off the rest of this conversation until after issue
11. Yeah, because this can
you
really
go. You people had better get out there and read it, because we are not holding
this
back.
This revelation go in a couple of different ways. It could be taken at face value. It could be taken as another making a revelation that actually is not true.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
A lie.
That kind of storyline. So it has a couple of different ways it can go. Either way, I think whatever direction it goes in, I like it. I really think they're doing a great. I honestly think they took a character. Now, I've been reading Batman for a while, and Batman was one of those books where
you picked
it up week after week,
you know,
or month after month,
right?
And it was good. It was a familiar character. You knew the
right.
You knew the Arkham crew. It was a decent read week after week, and they've really breathed some new life, and they've brought what I think is a really solid story. I'm saying it's one of the best stories since Hush. I honestly feel that way.
Let's throw out the character.
Okay.
It's Batmite.
It is. It is Batmite.
And for those of you that want to know how this all ties together to Batmite, you need to get over and read the book.
That's right.
Before issue 11 comes out, because that's when we're going to discuss it.
That's right.
That's it.
We're leaving it at that.
How it ties in. Who is Batmite? You will find out.
That's right.
Yeah, let them chew on that.
All right. I'm done with my book. I have other books that I picked up this week.
You do?
But I'm not going to mention them.
Was this one of them?
That was not one of them. No, oh. I'm not reading that book.
Why aren't you reading this book?
I can only read so many books.
We're talking about,
maybe
of course,
I'll sacrifice Detective and read that instead.
Really? You don't like Detective that much? Batman and Robin number 10 also came out. Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason handling the work on this book. I still like this book. I mean, there's a classy picture right there. So.
Sure.
I still like this book. I think it's still really good. We get a lot of characters in this book this month, by the by.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah. Did you see that picture? That's a lot of it's a lot of faces.
But there was a lot of faces in that picture.
Yes, sir. So check that out, Batman and Robin.
Right. How was the new 52 tie into that? I did not read that because I don't read that one. I did not read that tie-in. I read Detective tie-in, Red Hood and the Outlaws tie-in, Birds of Prey, Dark Knight, and regular.
Yeah, I can't reveal that, sir.
All right, fine. Fair enough.
That would be a spoiler.
I hope they do collect those issues in like some sort of Court of the Owls trade. That would be a good idea.
You know what? If they collected every Court of the Owls crossover book into a trade.
It's only one issue per title.
Well, but then there's also the whole bunch of Batman issues.
Right, and then a couple of Batman issues. Right. But I mean,
and it would still include this one. I mean, the story's not over, clearly. It would include Batman 10 and 11.
It would include 10 and 11. Would it include that one, though?
No, I don't think so.
No, because I was going to say, because in what came out last week? Detective issue 11?
Yeah.
Or Detective 10? That was already past
right
Court of the Owls.
Right.
I mean, it was there, but it was gone.
Right. Like I said, if they collected all those books and printed them chronologically.
Right. Yes.
In a trade.
It would be a good Jordan.
It would be a good thing.
All right. So we're done with comics.
Yep.
No trades this week?
No trades.
All right. We're going to play the news stinger again.
Oh. Geek stuff. What's in the news?
All right. A little out of the ordinary, but I felt like I.
What did you forget?
This.
We need a. We need an OG screwed up stinger.
Iron Patriot is not actually Iron Patriot. It's War Machine painted stars and stripes.
Like Captain America.
There. That's it.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Apparently, all that speculation about it being Iron Patriot, new information has come out that it's not actually Iron Patriot, that is the Army now has the War Machine suit, and they've made it stars and stripes.
So Don Cheadle
and
in
actually,
the movie.
If you look at the picture more closely of the Iron Patriot, it actually, it's really kind of like a, why did we ever think this was Iron Patriot? Because if you look at it, it has all of War Machine's weapons on
right.
the suit. So,
well, my question is it Don Cheadle or another?
I believe Don Cheadle's tapped.
Another young African-American going to take, who's going to be Rhodey this movie?
No, Don Cheadle was happy with his paycheck.
It was Don Cheadle. It wasn't Terrence Howard's decision. It was stupid Terrence Howard's people who screwed that up for Terrence Howard.
So Don Cheadle's people were happy with Don Cheadle's paycheck.
Apparently.
It pays more than the hotel in Rwanda.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Where was War Machine when the aliens invaded? Thank you, the end.
He was with the army.
Exactly. Yeah.
He wasn't a part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's it. It was just S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's it. He was ordering the shawarma so that I was ready when I got there.
Stupid.
All right. Let's do this.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Products.
And believe it or not, it's all Batman related.
It's all Batman related.
I believe it.
Totally not planned this way. Just kind of happens.
Just happens. It's the first up tonight is the DC Chess Collection, the latest piece. It's number 7, which is kind of throwing me because I keep thinking.
Have we talked about 7 of these already?
I don't know. Let's think about it for a minute. We did Batman.
Yes.
We did Joker.
Yes.
I know. No, we did more than that. Like Penguin.
I don't think we did.
No, we definitely did.
Are they releasing them out of order?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't think we've talked about 6 of these so far. I honestly don't.
I don't think that we've talked about 6 of them, but that doesn't mean that 6 of them haven't come out.
Okay, so you're missing some.
No, I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying it's quite possible that I'm just forgetting.
Oh, that okay.
You know, I'm trying to say, you know what? There's an easy way to do this.
Let me ask you this, though.
I'm going to open the package while you're asking me this.
Have you gotten any update as to the release of the board and binder in the U.S.?
Both the board and the binder were solicited in previews.
Oh, okay. So
in
U.S.
separate months. So
U.S.
two
collectors
months,
will get them.
They can get them.
Well,
yes.
Have the opportunity to
They're
get
not
them.
Getting them for free. Eagle Moss is not like, you know, you can't get a subscription in the U.S.
Right.
and get it for free. But 1 month was the binder, and the following month, I believe, was
the
chess
board. Okay.
And the board was not cheap, but I don't remember how much it was.
A whopping $80.
You know, it may have been
I thought that I had seen. I could be completely and totally pulling this out of my ass. Okay.
Granted.
But I seem to remember when we looked this up on the Eagle Moss website, they gave a free chessboard valued at.
I don't know that they said valued at, but they did say something about the chessboard.
So
if you got the subscription, I believe, which is something you can only get in the UK, you got the chessboard and you got the binder, I think, as part of your subscription. I think that's how that worked.
Right,
Eagle Moss is the name of the company. And yeah, so did we have Catwoman? We might have.
I don't think we talked about her.
I think we might have had her, though. She might have come out. Robin possibly has come out. Nightwing possibly has come out.
I feel as though we may have talked about Robin.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think we talked about
Joker.
Robin.
And they're only showing me, unfortunately, they're only showing me like the good side here of the chessboard. And they're not showing me the bad guy side of the chessboard. Anyway, we'll sort it out later. Batgirl is a white knight.
Okay.
In this collection. Of course, you get the beautiful metalized, hand-painted metallic resin is what they're calling it. Beautifully sculpted figure on a base. And you also get the accompanying book, which tells you all about the character, all about the chess piece, what it does, and so on and so forth, and a bunch of other pieces of information as well. So these are running... Now, these are running about $16 a piece.
Shekels.
So when all is said and done, you'll have a beautiful chessboard. It will be quite pricey.
Right.
But it will be a beautiful collection once it's all said.
Sure enough.
So that's that. That's from Eagle Moss. They have eaglemoss.com/DC-chess. And every fortnight at your news agent, you can pick. I love the British stuff in the book. Every fortnight at your news agent, visit www.eaglemoss.com/DC-chess is where you can check out. Next one is the Riddler. He's number 9 and number 8.
Right.
And he is a black bishop.
Okay.
So there we go. Now I'm going to have to look. Because now I'm afraid.
Afraid a little bit. I hear
I'm afraid.
I'm going to call that, what we just talked about, I'm going to call that the good Batman product that we talk about tonight.
I am. You and I are going to disagree on this.
That's fine.
This is the latest Batman Black and White is the next piece up from DC Direct.
I noticed an upgrade in the box. They've made them bigger.
I think, no, the box just comes based on the piece inside.
Yeah, but it's a new design on the box, though. It's That's not the same design.
No, you're right. The box has been... But it's been redesigned along with the... Because it's no longer DC
Direct. For the fantabulous new logo.
It's DC Collectibles, yes. Sir. No longer DC Direct.
That's what I have to say about that.
You are so negative, sir.
All right. So yep. This is based on a design by Jim Lee.
Uh-huh.
Sculpted by Paul Harding.
Yes.
Okay. I like the Jim Lee design.
Okay.
I'm not in love with Paul Harding's sculpt. Sorry, Mr. Harding. When I look at that Batman piece, right? When I look at that, I don't say to myself, holy jeebus, that's a Jim Lee Batman.
Yeah, no. I understand. Here's the first problem with the new packaging. They don't show you the Jim Lee design on it.
Right. The old ones used to show the sketch.
Used to show the sketch or the drawing on which the product was based.
It was like the line work of the sketch.
Exactly. Well, that's not it. It's just the new 52 Batman. And all the pictures on the box are pictures of the sculpted product, not of the sketch design. So that's problem number one. I think most of the problems with this are going to be in the packaging, OG, because that's significant.
Yeah, but go ahead.
The other one is, I don't see any numbering on here, so I guess the non-numbering continues.
Yep.
This one's going to run you about $80, which I think, if I'm correct, indicates a price increase.
Okay.
As well.
Unless it's bigger, because that box is definitely bigger.
No,
than
they haven't been doing that, though. Regardless of size, they've always been
the same price.
Yeah, well, thereabouts, yeah. And there's been a price increase in the past. I think this represents a price increase.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I thought the last set was 70.
I thought they were like 70, but not sure. What's good about it is two are coming out, are really, really spectacular. Designed by Darwin Cook.
Okay, I have a complaint about that.
Right, in July 2012 and August 2012, designed by Jock.
Right.
I don't know who Jock is.
I don't know who Jock is.
But that's the one, I think, where he's kind of diving.
Right.
I think we saw that one.
We did see that one, and it looked pretty.
Yeah, and the Darwin Cook one looks awesome.
Darwin Cook one absolutely looks awesome. Right. So that's not my issue with it. My issue with it is this is now the second Darwin Cook.
I think it's the second Darwin Cook. Is it, though?
I could have swore there was like a new frontier looking Batman Black and White.
There was a new frontier Darwin Cook Batman action figure.
I know. I thought there was a statue too. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's possible.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You can look it up.
I'm going to look it up. If there wasn't, if this is the second statue, then I have an issue. If it's not, then I don't. My issue with the one in your hand, though, is I don't think that the sculpture captures Jim Lee's style.
Designed to the unique vision and style of legendary artist Jim Lee and complemented with the traditional monochromatic color scheme, the latest collectible in the Batman Black and White line showcases DC Comics The New 52. And basically what that means is he's got all those kind of lines on his costume.
Right.
Which we're not exactly sure what all that means. Is it indicating some sort of plates? Is that how that works?
Maybe. I mean, it is in the new design.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Batman Black and Whites go, this one is pretty weak in that regard. So, a disappointment, I would say. But it does come to us from DC Collectibles. It is not the greatest thing we've ever seen. But that said, there have been other ones in the past that haven't been great either.
That's interesting.
What?
Not about the Darwin Cook. That might be the first Darwin Cook, in which case I take back my statement.
I think we're thinking of the New Frontier action figure.
But the statue by Jock.
Jock, uh-huh.
It's actually not Batman. It's Dick Grayson as Batman.
Oh, okay.
For Batman Black and White as sculpted
right,
by Jock.
Right.
But I'm okay with that. It's an interesting...
It's still Batman.
It's Dick Grayson.
It's Dick Grayson in the Batman suit.
Okay.
Still Batman.
Eddie Brock is Venom.
Oh, here we go.
Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Uh-huh.
Dick Grayson is in the Batman suit.
Ergo, he is Batman. Ergo, it's Batman.
No, he's dressed like Batman.
It's Batman!
If I was dressed like Batman,
would
I be Batman?
Batman?
No, I would be OG in the Batman suit.
You would be Batman. If I was in the suit, I would be Batman.
You would be Big Kev as Batman. And so you would be dressed as the Joker.
But you know what? We have never... Yeah, I would be Big Kev as the fattest Joker ever. If I... And it's happened, folks. It's happened. We don't address these as Bruce Wayne Batman. So why would we divvy it up and say, oh, it's the Dick Grayson Batman?
Because they haven't done a Bruce... They haven't done a Batman black and white statue before that has not been Bruce Wayne.
I have to think about that.
There hasn't been any iteration of that statue line yet that has. This is the first time that I can recall them making the actually making the acknowledgement that it is not Bruce Wayne in the suit.
It's possible you're correct. I still think it's correct. It's splitting hairs.
If you say so.
And with that, OG, let's take our final break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 251, Too Much Batman?
Hey, this is Judah Friedlander, the world champion from 30 Rock and Stand Up, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, because you're a winner.
And we are back.
Superpower Collectibles!
Is this another off
Superpower book? Collectibles!
Off book week?
Superpower Collectibles!
Head over to superpowercollectibles.com for all of your collectible needs. Statues, toys, comic books, discounts, free shipping, all sorts of fun. Wine and massage may or may not be included. We leave that up to their discretion.
Wine, then massage.
Hey-o. All right. This is not Sandusky Power Collectibles.
Wow.
Anyway, no, seriously, guys, go over to Superpower Collectibles. It is a great site, great sponsor of the show. Of course, by purchasing something over there, not only are you helping out the show, but you're helping out one of our lovely sponsors.
And yourself.
Of course. You get, what's the discount?
You get $10 off of any order of $50 by putting the coupon code BIGKEV.
And orders over $100, free shipping.
That's true. So you can combine those.
So for $90,
right?
You get into account the $10 off,
right,
and the free shipping.
I think it's whatever the shipping might have been.
Right, $130 worth of product.
You're trying to do all kinds of crazy math.
I ain't good at the math.
I just lost you in there somewhere.
I don't have the calculator app up.
Gotcha.
But no, seriously, Superpower Collectibles, a great sponsor of the show. We talk about them every week. You know, and a lot of the stuff we talk about on the show, you could get over there. So
that's
you should
true.
Definitely check them out. Head over there and superpowercollectibles.com.
What's that website again, OG?
Superpowercollectibles.com.
I think it's superpowercollectibles.com.
Superpowercollectibles.com.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
It is not the Iron Patriot. It is War Machine.
Talked about that a little late.
Stars and Stripes. We also talked a little bit about Warner Brothers' plans for other DC films, including Flash, Aquaman, Green Arrow, Lobo, Suicide Squad, and Shazam. We talked about Venom taking place in the Spider-Man universe in the film world.
The Amazing Spider-Man universe.
The Amazing Spider-Man universe. We talked about Zachary Levi stepping into the role that should have been his originally as Fandral in Thor 2.
That's interesting.
And we also talked about Talon getting his own series in the New 52 in September. And we talked yet again...
One of the Talons.
About the geek mudgeons in our society.
Talking about their problems with the
Tron,
Hobbit movies.
Catwoman, everything. Hobbit.
Geek mudgeons.
Everything. Like, everything they hate. So just stop reading, buying,
go
watching.
Over to his website, toygod.com.
No, come on.
What?
You know, he's like doing designer toys now out of glass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. No, not so bad. Just saying. And DVDs this week.
It's kind of odd considering they're not produced by 3A.
I know.
So
you would think, well, he's going to give him a pouch.
Oh, I get it.
Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, Superman versus the Elite, and of course, Bill Murray's Meatballs out on Blu-ray this week.
Bill Murray's Meatballs.
You gotta lend
that
some
is a,
title.
I believe that is a An Ivan Reitman film, sir.
Yes, it is an Ivan Reitman.
And I believe Harold Ramis may have done some writing.
I believe so.
I'm not sure about that, but
I believe so. In comic books this week, Batman Arkham Unhinged number 3 by Derek Friedolfs, Simon Colby, and Bruno Redondo. It's a great book. It's been an excellent read so far.
Bruno Redondo?
Brought to you, or actually, it's a storyline based on the video game set up in Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Yep.
And of course, Batman issue 10 out this week, continuing the Court of the Owls storyline, which I believe wraps up in some capacity in issue 11 coming out next month.
We also talked about Batman and Robin number 10,
that's right,
which is an all family issue. You'll know what I mean the moment you read it. Captain America number 13, which is actually turning out to be possibly an interesting storyline involving Scourge.
The Return.
Who is D-Man, Dennis Dunphy. Very interesting stuff happening there. Possibly. And you had another one, OG, didn't you?
No, that was it.
Oh, you did.
I bought some other ones I didn't mention.
Oh, I see.
In product tonight, we had two more Batman-related products. One good, one less than good.
Eagle Moss's DC Chess Collection. Why is it called DC Chess? It's really mostly Bat Family characters. Shouldn't it be like Batman Chess or something? In any event, this is number 7, which is Batgirl. You get the figure, you get the book.
Old logo chess.
White Knight. It's true. You have to get up. They have to do something about that. She's a White Knight on the Batman side of the board. Great sculpt. Great piece overall. Number 7 in the line, as we mentioned earlier. And that comes from Eagle Moss, which you can get these every fortnight at your news agent. It's so silly. EagleMoss.com/DC-chess.
We have some very dedicated UK listeners.
Don't
call them silly.
Look, I'm not calling the listeners silly. I'm just saying every fortnight at your news agent is a little silly.
I just say every fortnight at Automatic Comics in Corsham.
He's not a news agent, sir.
I understand, but I bet he has him.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying I think you're overreaching.
All right.
Fine. I'm just saying you're assuming he's a news agent, and he is not a news agent.
He has some news, all right.
Does he? He's a news, not a news agent.
He emails me constantly with news and updates.
I love all of his updates and stuff.
So do I. Shit, I never know about him.
I know. He's got his ear to the ground a little harder than we do, or at least he's got his British ear to the ground.
I was sitting in that shop all day long. That little town of Corsham out there.
Reading. You've been reading. There, right?
I have been to it. It's a lovely shop.
I haven't been there yet.
I've peed in the basement.
And really, lately, I don't know that I'll ever get there. But
I'm going back.
Are you?
I'm going back, damn. I think next year, quite possibly.
Really? Because I did hear that you were
for
planning.
For ToyCon, possibly.
Yeah, that's right. Is that what you were?
I'm going to try, yeah.
Your wife was asking questions about it.
I'm going to try.
Is that what that question was in reference to?
It might have been. I don't know.
Oh. It was about flying with.
Oh no! Well, I think we're going on another family vacation later this year. But next year, I think we're going to try to go back to London.
You going to put Frodo Washburn on the plane?
Hopefully, his piloting skills kick in.
What, his natural piloting skills?
That's right.
He's not even seen an Indiana Jones movie. How is that even going to occur?
I'm saying that he better be able to pull off the crazy Ivan because. Because I don't want no reaver chasing my plane out of the sky.
Wow.
All right.
Very nice turn, sir. Very nice.
Also, of course, the Batman Black and White. I think we've completely gotten off course with this.
Yeah.
But
this is the another Jim Lee, but the new 52 style Batman. Neither OG nor myself terribly thrilled with the direction this line is going in. The packaging used to indicate sketchwork and where the design came from. That's gone. The packaging overall is kind of bland. No more numbering, it would seem. Yeah, things are going in a bad direction for this line, I feel.
Right.
Which is a damn shame, because this is maybe one of their most consistent products that DC Collectibles, no longer DC Direct.
Right.
DC Collectibles is putting out, so we're going to have to wait and wonder if the next two, which are... our friend of the program, Darwin Cook, and Jock, which as it turns out is not Batman, but is Batman OG. What kind of argument?
Dick Grayson.
Still Batman. Doesn't matter.
Of course, before we move on with the rest of the wrap-up, we have some contests that wrapped up.
Yeah, I was just thinking also, we were just going to go the whole episode without doing it.
I was saving it for the way end.
All right, fine.
So let's do the Cloud Bee.
Cloud Bee would be the Twilight Turtle and Tranquil Turtle. Uh-huh.
Right. So we're going to play a voicemail for you.
Right.
This is the Tranquil Turtle winner.
Hey, Big Kev and OG. This is Lydia S. calling from New Paltz, New York. And I'd like a Tranquil Turtle to give to my niece. She's going to turn 3 soon, and I think she'd really like one. Oh, and when I was a kid, I slept with this big white fluffy teddy bear that my dad gave me, and I really liked it. Okay, well, I hope I win. Thanks. Bye.
So there you go. Congratulations.
Congratulations to that winner. Send us your info, and we'll get the Tranquil Turtle out to you immediately.
And then our Facebook winner, since we don't have a voicemail to play, we'll actually just say his name.
Yes, and his name is?
Jeffrey B. I won't say
Jeffrey B.
Jeffrey B, congratulations. You're going to get yourself a Twilight Turtle. Also, send me your information.
The original Twilight Turtle.
That's right. And we also are going to announce the winner tonight of the first ice tray.
Right.
Giveaway.
That's right.
Which was the Millennium Falcon. We're not going to play that voicemail, but we will announce the winner's name. What was that winner's name, Big Kev?
That was Ted C.
Ted C.
From Ohio.
We have listeners in Ohio?
Apparently.
We used to have one in Ohio that Ted. Is no longer in Ohio.
I like we have a listener named Ted.
We have listeners all over the country.
And more than this country, sir.
All,
we have in several countries.
Several countries.
Because we got some... We had some voice... I don't know how we got a voicemail from another country, because that was cute. But we could barely make out what that person was saying. We should think about playing that one at some point.
So next week, we will announce the X-Wing.
Right, the X-Wing winger. You still have time to enter that one. What was that contest, OG?
That is the Cotabaquia Ice Tray Contest.
Right.
And pretty much all you have to do is leave a voicemail saying why you want the ice cream.
Where would you leave that voicemail?
425-920-6050.
Uh-huh. And in conjunction with this week's episode, Too Much Batman, the Cotabaquia Batman Symbol Ice Tray our giveaway this week.
That's right.
And how are we doing this one, OG?
Well, this contest, the one for this one is going to start on Monday, the 18th.
Okay. Starting June 18th. Then. Uh-huh.
And you have until Monday, June 25th to call and leave a voicemail. June 25th, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Are we doing voicemail on this one, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
So we'll announce the X-Wing next week, but call in this week to win the Batman one.
Right.
And also next week, the big announcement.
Yeah, now this contest ended today. The Tell-A-Friend contest is now over.
That's right.
It actually over.
Yeah.
And we are going to be announcing the winners next week.
That's right.
So that's very
exciting. Stay tuned for that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it.
So
don't forget to check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes.
Yes.
As well as the message board, the photo galleries. Our Studio V clips are still up there.
Right.
There haven't been any new ones in a while, but hopefully down the pipe.
Production and, Tim. We got to get him on the pipe.
Lots of good stuff going on over there. Of course, you can check us out over on Twitter at BK Geekstuff and at GeekstuffOG.
Yes.
Facebook.com/BKGeekstuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it.
I think that's it. OG, I will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to an end, as we bring all episodes to an end, by saying, good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea, roads go ever, ever on. Under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar.